Any zombies out there?
Don't say that.
What?
That.
What?
That. The Z word. Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.
All right.
Are there any out there, though?
Can't see any. Maybe it's not as bad as all that. Oh, no, there they are.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pretty Much Geeks Halloween Horror Month. I'm your host, Marcel Delgado, here with Alonso Castillo in his red chair.
As always.
And today we're going to begin our first of our many reviews of the month. This week we're doing Shaun of the Dead. We ask you guys to, on the page and on the Instagram, to pick between if your favorite genre movies from horror, pick comedy, thriller, found footage, slasher, and classic. And this week we're doing the comedy. There's a lot of stuff to pick from, and even we were thinking about which ones to go for. I would like to. It was between this and What We Do in the Shadows. As much as I'm going to do What We Do in the Shadows, Shaun of the Dead ended up being the one that won, and I'm actually happy about it. I have a lot of minimal history with this movie in particular, but however, the overarching connection that I have to this movie is Edgar Wright. He's one of my favorite directors. I know you're the one that really ushered him into my consciousness as far as like knowing.
Yeah, well, you know, like there's always the term, you know, an auteur or whatever, but it's pretentious, obviously, kind of thing. But, you know, honestly, it's just Edgar Wright himself is just, even from youth, which is when he really made this movie, he's always been so talented as a filmmaker, just always really so finely tuned with everything he's done. And for Shaun of the Dead really being his directorial debut, it's an amazing one. I mean, most directors don't get such an amazing movie on their first go, to be honest.
Whether it be screenwriting, editing, various other classes that I've taken, he is always used as a point of reference in how to do it right. Baby Driver, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the way that he sets up specific plot points in the beginning of the movie and how they consistently just meet up and they actually hit points and it actually completely just comes full circle. It's a certain point where it's like he's able to manage that with fast-paced editing and along with that likable characters. It's kind of a hard thing to do. And he's also created two of my favorite, they're like universal constants. And I like to view each of these movies as part of a multiverse with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in each one differently.
No, that's great. No,
because we got like this one. I mean, it's the Cornetto trilogy. We got Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, which I did watch recently. And then we also have At World's End, which is my least favorite of the three.
Yeah, same thing with me. It's my least favorite. Weirdly enough, people who are like, quote unquote, diehard Edgar Wright fans, they tend to say that the characters in At World's End is actually the best those characters are, even though I personally don't, they're not my favorite ones out of, like, you know, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. But it's really weird, but a lot of like diehard Edgar Wright fans, they really enjoy those the two characters, you know, the Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, like, as their characters respectfully in that movie, which is like interesting that like the dedicated fan base finds them to be the most enjoyable, which is, I don't know, it's just odd.
I know. I mean, dedicated fan bases, they can be very vocal and they don't always land up matching up with everyone's main like point of view or main like opinion of everything. But, you know, hey, I mean, that's interesting. This, I feel, is my favorite out of the four Nick Frost and Simon Pegg movies, including Paul. That entire thing, it's like the little side American adventure that they got going on right there.
It's like the stepbrother.
Exactly. For me, and watching it this time, because the first time I watched it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and I remember a buddy of mine, Dakota, once told me, he was like, oh, it's like you should go watch it. You haven't seen this movie? We're going to stop exactly what we're doing, and we're going to watch this movie. Kind of like in Hot Fuzz, how they were watching, he's like, you need to watch this movie. And I liked it. I thought it was okay at the time. And watching it this time, however, there's always been something that's a fascination. I think we all know this with like with zombies and pop culture, especially around like the beginning of the 2010s and like late 2000s, kind of hit that real peak of it.
Yeah.
But that idea of just like, what if everything stop, your daily routine, everything that we know about it just stops and you're thrust into this, you need to survive or you're going to fucking die and things are coming at you. And how are you going to like survive with that? How are the dynamics going to change? There's been several like comedic attempts that I've seen, whether it be in TV or video games and everything like that, with trying to make zombies funny. This is probably the most
successful.
I wouldn't just say successful. I was just genuinely organic in its execution.
Well, yeah, and I think the thing that Edgar Wright also did very good with just the zombie genre, because, you know, like, I'm a huge zombie fan of just zombies in general. I love zombies. It's one of my favorite, like, you know, I would say genre or just thing, you know, whatever you would call it, mythos. And the way Edgar Wright really transforms it from being this, like, you know, whether it just him really transforming into his own thing and making it a comedy, you know, making it really funny. And to me personally, I think the thought of zombies is actually something that's very terrifying. You know, there are still some scenes that personally for me, even though they are funny, they still kind of get to me, even though I know they're supposed to be funny, but I'm like, ooh, that'd just be scary. And like, as an example, when they're sitting on watching the TV and the man's like, don't go outside. They look to their left and the dude's inside the house with no arm. He's just like hobbling in there and they're like, ah, it's like, it's a super funny scene. But to me, it kind of like, I'm like, oh, that's kind of creepy, because you're just like hanging out in the house and all of a sudden a zombie just strolls in and you got to like fight it off. But he really transformed, and like, I think even like Zombieland kind of took a page.
Would be the only other one that I would think of that comes to mind in being a like, oh, I want to watch something that's funny with the zombies and watch this.
In my opinion, he kind of started the whole, like, take a different approach to zombies, because have you ever seen Fido as well?
Yeah, you showed me that. That was, like, one. I remember that was one of the first movies that I watched on Netflix back when it was, I could still rent movies, and it would come into me in my mailbox, and that was, wow, I just...
Yeah, Fido was another one that's a really kind of weird sort of comedy zombie movie, but that one also, yet again, it didn't take a page out of Edgar Wright, but I just like it. I feel like Edgar Wright himself opened this book of like different styles of zombie
movies. It's like taking that quirky but also like just like semi-serious, because like you were saying, like if he's going to be having these scenes, you know, in the general, like things like, yes, it's a comedy, but there's horror staple at the end. That is the template of it that we're
going
for.
Oh, yeah,
There are scenes that he's going to grab where it's like, yeah, there is horror based around. Like, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when it's almost like a big sequence where you see him, like, going and doing his daily routine where he walks to the store, and the next morning he walks to the store and he's just in a hungover state, and he's just, like, on his way. He's not noticing all the zombies in the street. You see, and he's just basically just moving on by, almost as if he is he's a zombie. And he's just blending in with it, and he doesn't even notice it. And there's just subtle things in the background, and I always appreciate that of Edgar. He does it a lot more as his films progress in his career, like catalog that he does more significantly, Baby Driver. But yeah, so this one in specific was like one of the ones where I'm like, okay, I'm seeing the bits of what you are gonna do a lot better later on in your career.
and you know, and it's funny that you mentioned that, like, all the stuff, like especially with Baby Driver, how you can see him implement all those little things right now that eventually evolved into Hot Fuzz and Baby Driver and all of his films, like you know, editing to sound. And I don't know if he invented or if he really pioneered, I would say he pioneered it, is the quick cuts when it comes to speeding up the plot. And I really love it how, you know, an example, when he has to get ready for work and he has to take a leak. You know, it's like four or five cuts of him, like, you know, you see a water stream, you see the toilet flush, you see him close the lid, you see him wash his hands, and then bam, it's like 5 seconds later, we're already like, oh, he's already ready for work.
And it's efficient, it gets the point across, and it fits with the tone of the movie,
basically. Yeah, and it's kind of funny, you know, like, even the editing itself is kind of funny, and it just really keeps up with this tone of, like, jokey and lighthearted, but very serious at the same time. And, like, I love that. Like, Edgar Wright, nothing about his film work, his filmmaking skills are a joke. Everything is so, like, fine-tuned, but it's just, like, the way he does it, it's almost like it's flawless. Like, it's just, you have to really admire how good he is at what he does.
I don't think who knows if he was the first one to do it, but he definitely cemented himself as that is his style. There's a reason why, like, you said, oh, it's kind of like Edgar Wright, and people will understand what type of tone or what type of style you're going for, even in Ant-Man, when everyone was wondering, well, what parts of it, when he left that project and they got Peyton Reed to come on, we're like, well, what parts were Edgar Wright influence and which parts were part of this new director? And I remember the parts with Louise was something that everyone thought was like, well, this is probably him, because it's just so very fast paced and fast edited.
Yeah,
wasn't actually him, but I'm pretty sure Peyton Reed definitely like took an idea of, like, you know, hey, like, I'm gonna take this as an example for me to go off of. That's something I've always enjoyed, is like taking the macabre and just having a joyride with it. That's why I enjoy playing games like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4, just enjoying it by playing music in the background that does not tonally fit what's going on screen. And that's always been something that I've enjoyed. And the movie itself, I mean, it starts off and it's definitely, you see the day-to-day drag of life. He's in a relationship that is on the rocks. He has a semi-rocky relationship with his friend who is kind of holding him back. And there's a lot of themes that are going around here in this movie, and it comes full circle at the end of the movie. But when they're setting it up here in the beginning, you just empathize with Sean. Automatically, you just kind of see, like, he's just lost that spark in his life, and he's just kind of just, like... I mean, I remember when I first watched this movie, I hadn't really worked retail yet. I just was working behind in a kitchen that was around that time. And having worked retail stores, whether it be as my barista job or when I worked in sales and some various things I did, Best Buy. And when he's giving the pitch and he's talking to all the other coworkers and trying to get them to do something, or he's just talking to people like, just like, hey, he's like, I'm going to try to sell a TV. Yep, you can go on this channel and this channel. I'm like, and he just looks like a zombie. And I just remember people coming in that know me at work and telling me, like, dude, you look dead.
Yeah.
Like this just, like, serious, like, what is wrong with you? And I love the playoff of that.
Yeah, that it's almost like in our day-to-day lives, like, we're just so, I guess you would call it, like,
with zombies.
Yeah, like zombies, you know? Yeah, literally, we're just zombies in our own lives. And the parallel of, like, and it's kind of funny because I guess you could also take that to the next level by when they mimic the zombies mm-hmm. as they walk to the Winchester. I guess you could also say, like, well, you know, they're just, they're, as long as you, what is it, like, assimilate with everybody, like, you essentially fit in and then nobody can bother you. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's different ways to definitely view it, and there's definitely a deeper message there that Edgar Wright was trying to convey other than just being a really funny horror movie. But you, like I said, he's just, you know, he's a genius. He really is. Like, he's a master of his craft. And you know what's really funny is, as for Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, it's so interesting to see them so young.
Yeah. Like, this movie, I mean, I forget how old this movie is.
2004.
It doesn't seem as old as it is to me, but that's very, because 2004 still, it feels like it's like maybe like 10 years ago for me. when in reality, it's like...
The 90s was 10 years ago.
we're not talking about that. I found it funny seeing how young he looks, because I remember the last movie that I saw him in was Star Trek, or no, it was Fallout, Mission Impossible Fallout. And he hasn't aged that much. But comparatively to how I'd say like Nick Frost has, but it is funny just seeing how like they look. It's like as the beginning of their journey and so at that, and seeing how they, where they become and so at that.
And to me, I think, you know, cause for me, visual comedy is, in my opinion, like one of the, you know, Edgar Wright's so good at both, but I love that he really, really uses visual comedy to emphasize everything that they do. You know, like, well, one of the scenes where they run over one of the zombies, or they think it's a person, I guess, and then they stop the car, like, being normal humans, you know, they're just like, oh, we hit something, and then they're like, well, let's go back and check, and then they reverse, and he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then he just gets up all zombie eyes, and he's like, oh, okay, thank God, we can leave, and I'm just like, it's so, or the running joke that Nick Frost's character continues to answer his phone and says 2 seconds. He's like, oh, 2 seconds. And then it's always at the worst times when, like, they need him. And it's funny how those little quirks, like, stick to those characters. Like,
you've got red on you.
Yeah, like, it's just so funny, these little running jokes. And honestly, both of the actors, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, amazing at their roles, you know, like, for playing the character. Like, I genuinely thought when I was a kid, like, Nick Frost is that big of a buffoon. Like,
oh, I know.
You know, because he plays the role so well. Like, I'm just like, oh, this guy's an idiot in real life, but he seems great to hang out with. Like, he seems like a
fun guy. Yeah, you'd have a pint with him at the Winchester.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, no. It literally, they have a chemistry off of each other, which, I mean, obviously, since they've been, like, carrying, like, 4 movies together, and they're just known as a duo, regardless of the fact that they may or may not be as close friends in real life or not, they definitely grab the camaraderie that you get with, like, you know, your friends. So I'm like, I remember I was watching that, and I was like, ah, shit. And like, it's like when, like, going through a breakup, What are you going to do? You're going to go to your friends. You're going to have a drink.
Camaraderie, you know, like, especially, you know, when they walk out the pub and they're like, diva, 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 diva. Yeah. It's like all those little things, you know. It's just, the movie is so, in a weird way, heartwarming and also very tragic, too. There's a lot of the characters that die, too. In my opinion, I think rewatching and trying to be a little bit more objective, like, they killed a lot of people. They killed just about everybody, even one of the main characters.
They killed everyone except for, and if you look at it in a very, at the end of the day, if you want to look at it in a very morbid way, what this movie is Sean fixing his relationship.
But in his life, really.
Yeah. Literally at the end, in the beginning of the movie, he says, like, get your life together. And the next day, he technically does.
Yeah.
Because they kill, I mean, and they do a lot of playing off of expectations, especially with his stepfather, played by Bill Nye. And that's always whenever I see him, I'm just like, oh, Bill. Like, yeah. I'm glad to see you. And I consistently think of him from Underworld. I'm always going to know him from that. But
yeah.
At a certain point, it's like when I watch Adventure Time, and it's just like, oh yeah, this is gonna be what it is, and then just like, oh no, here's some sudden feels that we're gonna gut punch you with, and you're gonna feel sad, and you're not gonna want what we're gonna do, but we're gonna do it anyways.
It was real interesting, even because the character of Philip, you don't really think much of him, especially the way Sean kind of talks about him throughout the whole movie. He's like, oh, that's not my dad. That's my stepdad. And then in the car, they hit you with those feels, you know, like, oh. And like, and honestly, Simon Pegg does a good job of really emoting. Like,
he does a lot of that in this movie because he has a lot to deal with when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Him dealing with Philip, or dealing with his mom, or in that entire situation. And then just, yeah.
Everything else. Yeah. Who's your least favorite character, you think?
I mean, my least favorite character has to easily be, I forget what the guy's name was in the class. David. I mean, it's universally, I feel David is considered the most annoying character in the movie. I mean, it's just at this point, it's like he was designed like that. He was written like that. Yeah, he's going to be that guy that you want to punch in the face, and you don't care if he's going to break his glasses.
Yeah, no, fuck that guy. That guy was annoying. I think the actor does a good job of being a twat, like, honestly.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he plays that role of, like that friend that's, like, just trying to be, like, head out of the friend zone type of thing. Like, just like, oh, my God, you know, and just on the side, just, like, pathetic little guy. And it's, like, all these characters are played well and so like that. And I also, one of my favorite, I just forgot about it, scenes was when Sean and I think that was his other ex. They keep bumping into each other, and then there's like that.
The mimicking
of like the side, and you get Martin Freeman there, and there's other guys who just literally mirror that little group of survivors.
Yeah.
And they just keep passing. It's like, oh, hey, hello, hello, hello. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it consistently just goes up. That was like, she's actually one, she's a very minimal character, but whenever she's on screen, she just like kills it.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
I kind of want to see, like, that movie of, like, what she did. Because then at the end of the day, she comes in with the army. And she's like, oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, we all survived, too. Like, I don't know. Yeah, she was, I think she was supposed to represent, I think, like, the opposite of Sean at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a complete success, like, successful version.
She's competent, confident, and she just is going to just go ahead and do it. I mean, I don't know much about the character, but for what they've just, like,
shown
us. And so it's literally gets like that. And it's, like, a point where it's, like, you see how Sean and Liz are more paired off to be with each other versus Sean and her. And it's just one of those things where it's just, like, it's just little nuances that just help make this movie feel more lived in. Even though it's a little town and so that, I'm glad that they have all these little minimal things that just improve and enhance the movie.
So, you know, I they're obviously in London. And it's interesting because I stayed and, like, looked at all the credits and stuff, and they actually shot it in London because, you know, most of the time when they shoot any of these movies, it's always somewhere else. And but they actually shot a good portion of it in London.
It's either in Toronto or Atlanta or one of those.
Like, yeah. So it was just interesting to see, like, a lot of this movie felt really authentic. And overall, I think this is a movie that anybody who would sit down and watch it at any point in time, I think, would definitely find enjoyment out of it. Like, there's no way I think you couldn't. You know, actually, what my favorite thing about this movie that it did, and it's also why the movie does such a good job of resolving itself. It does the one thing I've always said about zombie movies. The most interesting point of a zombie movie is the outbreak. This movie is essentially all outbreak, because for some reason I think most zombie movies feel like they have to find a cure. Like, it's a cure, we need a, you know, that's what everybody needs, and that's what pushes all the characters forward. But in this one, it was just straight up survival. I like that they weren't looking for a kid. They're just like, no, we're going to survive. And even like when you listen to the TV afterwards and they're saying like, oh, 6 months happened since the outbreak.
They cut it off or they like.
Yeah, like they're like, oh, yeah, now everything's back to normal. Like, yeah, we just see the best part of a zombie apocalypse, which is the outbreak. And then everything settles afterwards because the dust settles. And then but then they just skipped all that. And they were like, no, we're just going to get back. Like, OK, things are back to normal.
Alluding to the fact that we know that it's fixed, but not exactly finishing up like the mystery of it is part of what makes it more interesting. Yeah. It's kind of like you don't show the creature or you don't show like the shark like in Jaws. That's more terrifying, if anything. But I think for that genre, that's more terrifying. But for zombies, it makes it more, it adds in some way the magic to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Of it, the unknown mystery of it is like, we don't know how this happened. You can, whether you do Walking Dead or, you know, I Am Legend or various other versions of zombies, you can be like, well, man created this or it came from this and stuff like that. Sometimes I like that. However, sometimes, like here, it's like, I don't really need to know that. I don't need to see how
Patient Zero
in this version of that. All I know is that their tits taken out. They literally just bring in the army as like a MacGuffin for like to like just yeah. to just fix everything and just shoot everything within like the quarter of like, I think, 30 seconds. Yeah. They're just gone. And it's like, yep, and we're done. And at that point, it's just like, you know, and they are using zombies in like, you know, like wipe out like TV shows, variety shows, yeah. retail markets are now using them as employees, which I thought was hilarious as a little just jab at retail working. But I think that was definitely because it's like it's more so how you and this is just generally every zombie genre. We can just go into the grander scale of a zombie. It's how you handle the actual we're going to throw zombies into this universe. How are you going to handle it?
Yeah.
Are you going to make it serious? Are you going to make it light? How are you going to handle the survivors? Is humanity the real problem? Like The Walking Dead or various yeah. other things? Because it's like at this point, it's like the zombie genre is kind of, I wouldn't want to say dead. It's just, it's been oversaturated at this point.
Yeah.
And because there's so much oversaturation, it's like, well, what else can we do with it? And it's not that we can't do anything with it, and that's whenever someone says that this genre has been outplayed or there's nothing more you can do with it, that's always a very ignorant statement because there's always more you can do with it. It's just never been, it hasn't been done yet. But I think this is the way they handled it here was a lot better.
Yeah, like, you know, and you know, realistically, like I said, Shaun of the Dead, when it came out, it was kind of a refresher to the zombie. If anything, I would almost go as far as saying that it kind of started the, I guess you would call it like the zombie renaissance, where all these zombie movies kind of started, proceeded after it because they saw this how successful Shaun of the Dead was. But the resolution of how something in a zombie show ends is tends to almost always be really underwhelming because you either find a cure and then everything, the world's fixed. It's like super quick, but it almost sounds like it's just kind of cornball, you know, like, especially like in a more recently, even though the movie was critically panned to begin with, but in DayZ, or World War Z, when at the end of the movie, when Brad Pitt finds that if you're sick already, the zombies don't notice you. And then, like, right after that scene, they're like, oh, the world is saved. And it's just like, it's too easy. It's just so easy. And in this movie, the way it ends, like, yeah, look, the world is back to normal, but it's forever changed. Like, now they have the zombies somehow, like, integrated, and they've done something with them instead of just being like, oh, yeah, they're gone now, or, like, you know.
And you have your best friend in the shed as your pet,
yeah.
like Fido.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah, like.
Being a full circle right there, and which that's a choice that I don't dislike, but.
To see a direct sequel to Shaun of the Dead, I can't see it so much being them. The only way I could see that working out is if Edgar Wright wrote a sequel that wasn't connected directly. You know what I mean? Like, there was, like, we learn...
It's in the world,
yeah, basically. It's in the world, but it's not actually from the
spinoff, basically.
Yeah, like a spinoff. Like, we actually maybe learn about her, the other group, the group that mimics...
Oh, his ex, basically.
Like, I could see that being the spinoff. But yet again, like, at
that point, it would just basically be the same movie.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well,
like, a variation of it.
Yeah, like a variation of it, but... But he could have done something very interesting where he could have mirrored or mimicked different things and then, you know, I mean, like, changed them. Like, almost like these things happened at the same time, but they happened very drastically different because they were a successful group. Well, you know, like, Simon Pegg's group was a terrible group. And you know, but, like, obviously, like, that would just be an idea. But I just, Because for Edgar Wright, I think he always just likes to do something new because he gets inspired and he's just that type of director, you know.
So at this point, I think we've kind of gone off along, jerking this movie off for a good point. But at this point, I mean, can you blame us? The movie is that good.
Yeah.
And I had a smile on my face when I saw the polls match up for this one. And this one did win. So, of course, we're going to recommend it. We're not really at the way we're going to go about with these, and we always go about them, is we're not going to rate them. We're just going to have you guys take your word at us. And at this point, if you're listening to the podcast, odds are that you've already seen the movie or you watched it in anticipation for this podcast. So that being said, I'm happy to finally get this one out of the way. And I feel like it's kind of the beginning of it and kind of just like christening the month, essentially. Because this is going to be a huge month for pretty much Geek itself as an entity and what we're doing. We're doing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We have this, for one, and we're doing this again. And then we've been doing the Halloween Horror Month for, I think it's been 4 years now.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be going into the classic genre, and me and Jose are going to be looking at Creature from the Black Lagoon. It was either between that and Bride of Frankenstein, but you guys wanted Creature from the Black Lagoon. I have never seen that movie, considering that I've only seen Shape of Water, and I'm interested to see how the parallels meet with that, because I know that movie was a love letter to Black Lagoon. We got that coming out next week. The week after that, we have Blair Witch with me and you. We're going to be watching the sequel, not the original one, and we're going to, after that, we're going to watch The Thing, and then we're going to end the month out with Halloween 2. Not the original, not anything else besides that, but since we're going to be getting the new Halloween movie this year that decanonizes every single movie since that's been made since the original one, this is the original sequel. This is how it was supposed to be. And I figured we'll look at it as this is the what if version. This is the original. aside from that, we have a big month, and nearing the end of the month, we're headed to Comic-Con, guys. We're headed to LA Comic-Con. We have press passes in for that. Me, Alonzo, Parker, and Jose are going to be there. We're going to be doing interviews, being in sound bites, and we're going to just be seeing us on the floor. Whether or not you can be there or whether or not you want to be there, come and say hi to us. If not, we'll be posting live footage. We'll be posting interviews on our social media platforms. And as the days get closer towards that, you're going to see more of that from us. So I'm happy that you guys are here for that. I'm happy and I'm excited for this month. It's going to be a hell of a month, a lot of work, but I'm excited for it. And I'm happy to get back into the grind of things. For those of you this is your first podcast, thank you guys for watching or listening to us, depending on what platform you're going and viewing us on. That being said, you can follow us and view us on various platforms. If you want to go and follow us on our Facebook page, that is our main feed. That's our main site that we have. We post news, opinions, reviews, anything and all about movies, comic books, video games, TV. If it's pretty much geek, you get the gist of it. Aside from that, we have our Instagram. We also have a Twitter. And as far as our podcast, whichever platform that you're watching it on, great. We also have it on iTunes, Podomatic, YouTube, and SoundCloud. If you want to get the variety, we have it there. And as I always like to say, Pretty Much Geek is a community. This page and this podcast would be nothing without you guys. If you guys want to watch the movie with us, comment. Leave your comments and your thoughts about the movie in the comments below. We'll have a conversation. We'll respond. Alonzo will respond. And we can have a discussion about that, because that is literally the reason why we have this here. We're here for you guys, and you guys are here for us. Alonzo, thank you for joining us.
As always.
And until next week, when we join you for Creature of the Black Lagoon, for everything else important, newsworthy, and Pretty Much Geek, we'll have it covered under our radar.